Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, yeah.
Love. Love will keep us together. Think of me, babe, whenever some sweet talking girl comes along. Singing a song, don't mess around, you've just got to be strong. Just stop it, cause I really love you. Stop, I've been thinking of you.
Look in my heart and let love keep us together.
Yeah.
I will.
Oh, I'm sorry.
312-642-5600. Turnkey Deb Provenza. What's your favorite Captain and Tennille song? I have to tell you, I was shocked. Daryl Dragon, right, died at age 76 yesterday. He had kidney failure. He was in hospice in Prescott, Arizona.
And I think I saw him perform in Prescott, Arizona about 25 years ago.
Well, here's
we
the
went
thing.
To a Captain and Tennille concert for old people. We weren't really old then. The song that we just sang there was, remember back in like 1975 when this song came out, there were 3 radio stations in the entire city of Chicago.
I think we went over that last week. It was us, right. WIND.
And WCFL.
The other, exactly.
So, and they did was play this song that entire summer, which is the summer that my wife and I got married. So this is actually our song, whether we like it or not. It is our song.
Aww.
Love will keep us together.
Well, I didn't know that they got divorced. Who's married for 40 years
and
then gets divorced?
Right. People,
I have a family member that happened to. They're married 42 years, finally got divorced.
And then the guy usually dies like within a few years because it's like his last fling. He doesn't realize it.
Exactly. But she was
with
him.
And then nobody comes to his funeral.
Yeah, no, she was with him when he passed away. So they divorced in 2014. After 40 years of marriage, but remained close.
Let the record show, if you're streaming right now, I am wearing a Captain hat today, which is very nice because I tweeted that the Captain, Amy Jacobson, and me, Tennille, would be singing this song today. But
well, what's your favorite song? I mean,
this is it. I mean, there's other ones.
Well, there's this one. Oh, it's not up. Why isn't it playing? That makes me so sad.
Oh, somebody shoot that muskrat.
Well, I would play Muskrat, but I think the Muskrat got... Oh, here it is.
Singing and jangling a jangle. Floating like the heavens above. Looks like Muskrat love.
Here, this part. Makes no sense. When the little chipmunks, the little muskrats come out.
Well, you know, and you can wear vest now in Illinois. As of January 1st, you can wear your pink vest as well as an orange one when you're hunting muskrats. So, yeah. Bye. The second verse is the same as the first.
Do that to me one more time.
So this
is never enough.
Remember their variety show they had?
No.
And you always wanted him to talk more.
No, I don't.
Captain just sat there in the back and played the keyboard.
Was that after,
never had a voice?
Was that after or before Howard Cosell's Saturday Night Hollywood Palace? I have no idea.
You don't remember?
No, I don't remember their
show. It was short lived, but I watched. It was, and John Travolta, I remember, joined her on stage to sing a song, a Kiki D song. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
But it was. It's really sad. But he's not the only one who died. Daryl Dragon, 76, is not the only 76-year-old. Who died yesterday?
Mean Gene Okerlund, who also I have a connection to, the wrestling guy.
Us.
And my oldest son, who texted to me yesterday, "Love will keep us together till death do us part," which I thought was funny. He also remembered Mean Gene Okerlund because I was on Channel 32, which had wrestling on.
Oh, yeah.
And Mean Gene, so Mean Gene cuts a promo, something to the effect of, "My best friend, Bruce Wolf." So Mean Gene Okerlund, which my son at the time, when he was about 10, thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, it is.
Didn't realize that wrestling and Mean Gene were fake. But so he died.
But Mean Gene started out as a wrestler, then became
a
commentator.
First? Yeah, he was a great commentator.
He was great, Mean
and
Gene.
And also Bob Einstein.
Well, that's, yeah.
Which is Albert Brooks's brother. Albert Brooks's real name is Albert Einstein. Funkhauser from the Larry David Show. He died, and he was 76 years old. And I have a connection to him because he used to be on with Brandmeier all the time.
Oh, really?
So those are the connections there.
Uh-oh. And, does that mean you're going to be next?
I could. Well, I'm not that old yet. But I have a mini parody here.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
Are you ready?
Okay, wait. Hold on. I think we have to play. Are we going to play the song first?
Well, I could.
See, we don't rehearse these things.
I could just do
things.
It a cappella.
Well,
we have it.
All right,
it's just two lines, so we shouldn't make a big deal out of it.
We make a big deal about everything, especially singing. All right, hold on. Wait.
Okay, is this the song?
Hold on.
This is taking a long time. Well, the intro should not be three times as long as the mini parody, which is two lines. Okay, well, here we go. Robert Preston. Okay, I missed it. All right, take two.
You do it a cappella here.
76 right. Years old is much, much too soon, because 110 is the new 65. All right, that's it.
That's it. That's all you have.
I have, that was 208 characters. Everything I do is a tweet.
Mike Scott, who are you going to miss the most? Einstein, or what's his name? Einstein? Bob Einstein?
Einstein.
Well, I'll miss him. I'll miss Bob.
Daryl Dragon or Mean Okerlund? Mean Gene.
Mean Gene was fun, but I'll miss Super Dave. I don't know. I've never seen, and I hate to admit this in front of Keith Conrad, I've never seen one episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What? So
there are two kinds of people in the world.
There
are the cool people who watch Twilight Zone marathons on New Year's, like Keith does every year.
Look,
and then there are people like you who have not watched Curb Your Enthusiasm.
When Curb Your Enthusiasm was big, I was watching Arthur's Perfect Christmas. So there you go. Yeah, I had better things to do than watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So.
But Super Dave was huge.
Yeah.
And Mean Gene, his trading barbs with Hulk Hogan is probably what WWF on the map.
Yeah, and that led to reality television. So
probably, yeah. But you know, Daryl Dragon, always the captain in my heart. Always.
Let's go to the
you
phone
don't like
line.
His other always. Work. You don't like his other work when he played Shakespeare in the Park.
Muskrat Love has a special place in my heart.
There you go.
I want to know what happened when that song was on.
Let's
go to the
phone
lines. Jim joins us from Crown Point. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. Muskrat Love has a special place in my heart. It's at the bottom of the ocean, but I've been married 40 years. And I could never leave my wife because we are able to just say whatever every mean thing we want, and it doesn't affect either one of us.
So you are mean, Gene.
And,
okay.
Yes. And we had a pact that whoever wanted a divorce would have to take the five kids. So stayed together.
That's very awesome. Good.
So it's not love that keeps us together. It's the kids.
The children.
Well, you know the old joke.
Thanks,
right?
Jim,
the 99-year-old couple goes before the divorce judge.
Yeah.
And the judge says, Why are you getting divorced now? You're 99 years old. And they say, we wanted to wait till the kids died. So,
<Ba-dum-bum>.
Hi-yo.
WIND Chicago. WIND Brook Avenue.
Just because you become a
young man now.
All right, so I used to call WIND when I was a kid and say, can you please play I'll Shop Around, please. I love Tony Tennille so much. And she didn't die, but her husband did. I loved her so much that I got the Tony Tennille haircut, and I brought in a picture of second grade. There you go, with my Tony Tennille haircut. What do you think, Captain?
She would have been proud to look like that Absolutely. Very, very nice.
Kind of a Dorothy Hamill, right?
I'm reading a little bit.
Yeah, you're right, Mike.
I'm reading the comments.
Sorry, I know my haircuts. I don't have any hair.
You left in here comments from your teachers.
No.
Amy needs to work on her vowel pronunciations, which is interesting because 43 years later, whatever it is, you still need to do that.
Yeah, because when you look through these things, you find report cards. And my report card reading, I need to read over the summer. But my math, are you ready for this?
Sure.
Amy understands most of the skills we've learned this year. She needs to learn her facts better. She relies on a ruler too much. Amy tends to have trouble with story problems. She would rather get help than work them out by herself.
Yeah. What's a ruler? That's what my children
mean. A slide rule.
And this is about, you cannot make this stuff up. What I want to be when I grow up, for boys, your choices were fireman, policeman, cowboy, astronaut, soldier, or baseball player. And for the girls, here were our choices. Mother, nurse, school teacher, airline hostess, whatever that is, model, or a secretary. And I put in other. I put in a veterinarian, which I spelled wrong, by the way.
Well, you spelled it wrong. But
I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
And veterinarian, I don't think there were any female vets.
Oh, no, back then. No.
So you were already testing the limits.
Exactly. I didn't check the box, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
A budding James Harriet, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So what were you, and I have to tell you that.
All things great and small, all things bright and beautiful. Do you read? Do you read at all, Bruce?
I'm stuck on
he reads the Infinite National
Jest.
Review.
I'm stuck on Infinite Jest, page 200. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I... Well, we have a lot to get to today. President Trump had a... I don't know how you would describe it. A crazy off the cuff 90-minute press conference when he had his cabinet members there. Mitt Romney went on with Jake Tapper on CNN to ridicule President Trump. So what did you think of the press? First of all, this was what it was like being home alone because he didn't go to Mar-a-Lago. He stayed there. He hunkered down in Washington, D.C.
How long do you think the government's going to stay partially shut down?
Could be a long time and it could be quickly. Could be a long time. It's too important a subject to walk away from. I was here on Christmas evening. I was all by myself in the White House. It's a big, big house, except for all the guys out on the lawn with machine guns. Nicest machine guns ever.
That's a good one.
I was waving to them. I never saw so many guys with machine guns in my life. Secret Service and military. These are great people. And they don't play games. They don't like wave. They don't even smile. But I was there all alone with the machine gunners, and I felt very safe, Ben, I have to tell you.
You think you
they're
get
great
this
people.
President
and
Romney?
A lot of them. But I was hoping that maybe somebody would come back and negotiate, but they didn't do that. And that's okay. Look, this is really something that should be bipartisan, and we'll see if it is. I hope it is.
So basically, he was all by himself.
Imagine him singing this to himself in the Oval Office.
Yeah, isn't that great?
No, he could be like Tom Cruise in Risky Business, sliding across the floor doing this in his underwear.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Listen to podcasts of Joe Walsh and Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Has President Trump lost his mind? Yesterday during a bizarre 90-minute meeting with reporters, he was actually meeting with his cabinet members, but he invited the media in. He does this every so often. I don't know if it's a new year, a new day, or if he wanted to fight back against Mitt Romney's comments, but...
It's great. It's like having Spicoli as the president and just, Mr. Hand, you know that the Soviets invaded Afghanistan only because the terrorists were in Russia, and it was so bogus, and Mr. Hand...
Well, you're talking about this section of the press conference or news conference when he talked about, that the Russians were right to invade Afghanistan.
We're going to do something that's right. We are talking to the Taliban. We're talking to a lot of different people. But here's the thing, because you mentioned India. India is there. Russia is there. Russia used to be the Soviet Union. Afghanistan made it Russia because they went bankrupt fighting in Afghanistan, Russia. So you take a look at other countries. Pakistan is there. They should be fighting. But Russia should be fighting. The reason Russia was in Afghanistan was because terrorists were going into Russia. They were right to be
no,
there.
No, no.
The problem is it was a tough fight. And literally, they went bankrupt. They went into being called Russia again, as opposed to the Soviet Union. You know, a lot of these places you're reading about now are no longer part of Russia because of Afghanistan.
No.
312-642-5600 is our Turnkey Depro answer line. 646-36, type in D-A. Then a quick comment. Bruce Wolf, by the way, thanks for coming in today. For
Thank you for having
me. Where did he go wrong in that comment?
Well, first of all, he doesn't understand the history of the United States of America. And this is why, I mean, as much as I'm trying not to bash him. Well, Mitt Romney is cloying to me. Somebody has to tell the emperor that he's not wearing any clothes on occasion. And he isn't. He's a nincompoop. Often, and I voted for him. I always like to bookend everything with, I voted for him, I'm going to vote for him again, but he's an idiot. Now, what happened in Afghanistan was the Soviets invaded Afghanistan. There were no terrorists who were from Afghanistan who were going into the Soviet Union. Why do you think Mr. President Donnie from Queens, as we like to call him when he calls in, why do you think, Mr. President, that we boycotted the 1980 Olympics? Do you think that we're in Moscow? Do you think we did it for our health? The Reagan this is all Quinn Hillier writes about it, I forgot where, very eloquently. Why do you think there was a thing called the Reagan Doctrine? It was to stop precisely what the Soviet Union did. So you think you're the heir to Reagan? No, this was flat out dumb. And I got to say something, and I want to say this, it's radio and I can speculate. Yeah. I was watching Special Report yesterday with Brett Baer, and I fast forward through it. Does anybody know, did they mention this passage yesterday on Special Report? Because if they didn't...
They did on CNN.
CNN, I get it. But did they mention it on Special Report? Because if he didn't, then Brett Baer has some answering to do.
Well, it was 90 minutes of chaos that they had to choose from, but this was a big gaffe.
This is a big gaffe. And if he doesn't mention that, then I got a bone to pick, because Brett Baer is supposedly the guy, the straight shooter on Special Report. And they're totally in the tank for Trump. And look, I voted for the guy. Mitt Romney is wrong when Mitt Romney tweeted yesterday, among other things, because, you know, in furtherance of his op-ed, mm-hmm. that being the president is more than politics and appointments. It's also about character. And I replied to Mitt, and he hasn't responded to me yet.
Yeah, I'm sure he's working on it.
It's also, Mitt, it's about being electable and winning, which you can't do. So I understand, you know, so I'm irritated by Romney as well. But the fact of the matter is you got this guy sitting here like he's Spicoli and making up the history. Somebody tweeted.
He's making up history.
Somebody tweeted that they would love to watch Trump on Drunk History, but watch him sober, just making this stuff up as he goes along.
Let's party.
The chutzpah, I don't know who has more. Elizabeth Warren, who is, you know, embarrassed because everybody found out that she is not an Indian in any way, shape, or form.
Well, she likes beer.
Yeah, still
see her Instagram where she got a beer and hugged her husband.
She's still announcing. She's still running for president. Or Trump, who will sit there. If I didn't know anything, I'd, like, sit in the corner somewhere. I wouldn't invite the press in and start pontificating. Well, somebody should have yelled at him, because they're all wusses there. Somebody should have said, you don't know what you're talking
about. The person behind him on his left actually looked like he was laughing at him, because I watched the whole 90 minutes. I was just enthralled at this craziness. I did not understand why somebody didn't stop him or correct him. I think they're just afraid of him. Or they think that he's
they're team
nuts.
Players.
Well, then he went on, listen to this. Then he was talking about how good looking his generals are. Trump, are you ready for this? He said, he was talking about a meeting about Iran in the Middle East with lots of good looking generals. Quote, like from a movie, better looking than Tom Cruise and stronger.
Well, I mean, he's got a lot of good lines. And to me, it is about the appointments and it is about the policies, which are identical to the ones that Mitt Romney had talked about self-deportation.
I know somebody who's self-deported. Our nanny, our babysitter, self-deported.
Well, then who did you get to nanny for?
Well, they can take important. Care of themselves now. But he also talked about, you know, how he's not so popular in Europe.
Easy not to do anything. When they say I'm not popular in Europe, I shouldn't be popular in Europe. If I was popular in Europe, I wouldn't be doing my job. Because I want Europe to pay. Germany pays 1%. They should be paying 4%. They're paying 1%. They should be paying even more than that. Other countries pay a small percentage of what they should be paying. So, you know, when I say I'm sorry, folks, you have to pay up, I shouldn't be popular in Europe. They do a poll. I was at 88%, and now I'm at, you know, very low number. In Europe, I don't care about Europe. I'm not elected by Europeans. I'm elected by Americans.
That's fine. Look, I got no quarrel with that. And, you know, and it's really a pittance, too. All this stuff, I mean, when it comes down to it, we talked yesterday to Tim Carney, the Washington Examiner, and I think he nailed it. It's going to be that everybody's going to be able to appeal to their base. The Democrats are going to say, yeah, we didn't give them much of a wall. And Trump's going to say, we didn't give them much on DACA. And it's going to be an illusory wall with an illusory DACA thing over an illusory shutdown. Because we don't even have a real shutdown. It's all like kabuki theater. And so I get
political
that.
Theater. Yep. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Tim, who joins us from Naperville. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, I don't know what radio station I'm listening to. I'm thinking maybe I got NPR on, or maybe I've got Rachel Maddow talking to me here.
Yes.
But, Amy, I got a bone to pick with you. I love you, but I got a bone to pick with you.
Mm-hmm.
You refer to the president's newscast there as the czar, right? And I expect that out of these other radio stations that are leaning.
Did you watch it? Did you watch the whole 90 minutes? Because I did.
No, I didn't.
You probably just saw clips of it, and it was just very. It was reality TV. He is a reality TV star, folks. He for 13 years we invited him into our living room to watch him on The Apprentice. So this is what he does.
Yeah, but we did not elect an historian. Okay, we elected a guy that needed to roll back the regulatory problems that were strangling the growth. We were expecting him to secure the nation. We were expecting him to get the economy going. And you start referring to him as bizarre.
I said the press conference was bizarre.
But Tim, can't you?
Tim, I said the press conference was bizarre.
Tim, can't you wrap your head around? Tim.
Wait, no,
can't you wrap? Can't you wrap your head around two different things? He's doing all the things we want him to do, but he's a little wacky, isn't he? I mean, he is.
Okay, but why can't we then? Why can't you use that same adjective for Nancy and for Chuck Schumer?
We do.
And I've yet to hear it. And
come on. Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, I mean, you can't say three things at one time. Maybe we should have, like, you know, three different channels.
But Tim, stay with us. No, we appreciate that you listen. And
Tim,
thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much for being from Naperville.
Being from Naperville.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. Let's go to our friend Candace, who joins us from Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. Good morning, Candace.
Hey, good morning. Over the break, I sent him a tweet, and I said, listen, you have to do an Oval Office thing, because my father-in-law up in Michigan believes all this Democrat stuff because he only has three channels, okay? He's the only man I know who doesn't have a cable box.
Right. Right.
Okay, and I have a huge argument with him. So it frustrates me when I see him doing a press conference because it's not his best way. It's not his best way. I love the president dearly, but it is not his best way. And he really does need a good, planned, hard-line
speech. Can't do that.
To
he can't do
the
that.
Public.
You know when he's reading
and
the teleprompter.
Who is his communications director? Don't you, hey, Bruce, don't you get really frustrated when the president doesn't listen to you via Twitter?
He never responds to me.
Candace.
Thank you.
I thought he'd respond because I told him we needed 24 hours if he was going to shut down the border because we drove our car to Mexico. I thought he'd respond, but
no.
Other people did, though.
The great thing about
got a
Trump,
conversation going about border security and where funds need to be going and who needs to be hired and surveillance and all of that.
Look, like I say, Trump, he always talks about that he doesn't want to be presidential. I agree. We don't need presidential anymore. Trump is our apprentice. He's our apprentice. He worka for me. I don't worka for him. So I can tell my employee, the president of the United States, you're an idiot. But, you know, I like some of the things that you do. Okay.
Tom in Deer Park. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Bruce, Amy. I'll repeat exactly what I told your call screener. And I appreciate you two having this conversation and playing that clip. And then your comment about Fox, and if people just watch Fox and listen to a majority of talk radio, they have no idea of what's going on in the country via the administration. So here, you two cover it. I make the call, and then your first caller just proves my point. So with gratitude, I appreciate the fact that you people, you know, actually cover both sides.
All right, Tom, I got one thing to say to you. I got one thing to say to you. Don't ever darken our door again, and just go watch MSNBC. All right? All right?
He's joking around.
I don't watch any of them.
I know. Right. Thanks, Tom,
Thank
for
you,
calling.
Tom.
We appreciate it.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
So, Bruce, do you have a dog or a cat or any animal?
Yes.
You do? What do you have?
We got a brand new puppy.
You have a hello? What kind of puppy?
Well, hello. It is a Newfie Doodle.
A Newfie Doodle?
Yeah, named Petal.
Yes. Petal?
P-E-T-A-L, because my wife has a flower business. And she's training it.
Well, we quickly take you up north to Wisconsin, Waukesha, where on New Year's Day, a woman found a 150-pound Mastiff guard dog asleep. Yeah. This thing, I mean, she lives alone, so she got a dog to protect her. She found her dog asleep with an intruder.
So I woke up and I saw this guy laying right here with the dog. Normally, when somebody walks by or if somebody comes in the house, he does a lot of barking. But he was passed out. He wasn't, you know, moving or anything.
Yeah. Well, had he been drinking?
Anyway, we saw him, the dog was sleeping on top of him.
The dog was sleeping on top of him.
Doing it human style. Yeah,
he was a drunk neighbor. The door was unlocked, accidentally went into the wrong home, and fell asleep in the dog bed with the 150-pound Mastiff on top of him.
So he had the hair of the dog.
So she called the police at 5:30 in the morning. They came down, and they got to the bottom of things. They said the man went back to his home, apologized, and will stay off the liquor for a little bit.
But why didn't the dog is a guard dog. Why didn't the dog attack the drunk guy?
He was probably like, oh, somebody wants to cuddle and snuggle with me.
Drink with me? I'm lonely. Verge, I'm lonely.
Hey, we want to thank a lot of our business benefactors. We are almost at the finish line, folks. We are just inches away. And here's what we want you to do. If you own a business, we have the best decision. We have the best station for you to kickstart your 2019 marketing campaign. $2,500, tax deductible. The money goes to Food for the Poor. They help people in Haiti and all over the world. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you 40, 60-second commercials. Who has become a business benefactor, Bruce?
Well, I'll tell you, the attorneys of Levin and Brand, the American Association of Matrimonial Lawyers, Strategia Consulting, Vestuto Application Consulting Incorporated, Central Sod and Plainfield. I could go on and on.
Well,
would you like me?
Northern Illinois Cat Clinic, meow, hello, I'm a cat lover. But to become a business benefactor, who do we call?
And Jeanette Netkowski. Directly at 847-472-8951, 847-472-8951, and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
And this is the station that you're going to want to hook up with, you're going to want to advertise with in 2019. Not the mess going on up the dial. This is the place to be here at AM 560.
Fighting words.
Oh, yes, they
Fort
are.
Fort Sumter.
Call Ann Jeanette at 847-472-8951. See, I memorized.
That's great.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Ding 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 ding. A new era on Capitol Hill today as the Democrats take over the House of Representatives today, Mr. Bruce Wolf. Thank you, by the way,
for
coming in.
Having
for Dan Brop.
And for giving me the captain hat from the Captain and Tennille.
Oh, yeah.
It's messing up my Sport Clips hairdo.
But put it on again. You know, somebody did text in real quick. They said it looks more like the skipper than the captain.
That is very funny.
And we'll talk about the passing of the captain and, of course, the others who all died at the age of 76.
Is it okay if I call you Ginger?
Yes, you can call me Ginger or Marianne, I prefer. But 237 Democrats, 199 Republicans today. We have 40 new women going to Washington,
dang,
20 veterans, and 2 Muslims. And guess what their first order of business is going to be? To end the government shutdown, because it's the government shutdown. Yesterday, President Trump met with lawmakers, and they did it differently. They met in the Situation Room. Because they have situations. So we're in the Situation Room. Did you see that picture?
Were we trying to catch Osama bin Laden again?
No, I mean, it was very strange. Okay. Bill Daley was not there this time.
But Bill Daley, who did, and he runs for mayor, he did capture Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Because he was standing there in the Situation Room.
Sure, sure, he did. But they got nothing accomplished. And, of course, you know, President Trump, all he wants is $5.6 billion for that wall.
The $5.6 billion is such a small number. Literally, it's a month. It's 1 month in Afghanistan. And we're talking about national security. This isn't just a border. This is national security.
So do you support President Trump? 312-642-5600 is our Turnkey Depro answer line. 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Because who do you think is going to cave first? Because Savannah Guthrie, bless her heart, former intern of mine.
Megyn Kelly,
no,
former
she
intern of yours. Everybody was a former intern.
Well, she did question Nancy Pelosi on what this, you know, you're responsible too. It's not all President Trump.
If you and the Democrats don't meet halfway, if you don't compromise, then why isn't the shutdown partially your responsibility
as
well?
It has nothing to do with us. It has the president saying, I will hold 6 agencies of government hostage to my campaign promise that I was going to build a wall and that Mexico was going to pay for it. That is so ridiculous, A. Mexico's not paying for it, A. And B, we have better use of funds to protect our border.
Can I summarize what I saw in Special Report last night?
Please.
Because it's a pretty good Special Report, even though I don't think they had Trump's idiotic comments about Afghanistan. But it's pretty good if you fast forward to the experts on the panel. So Bill McGurn of the Wall Street Journal says, Trump is willing to take pain on trade. So he could be willing to take pain on this. You know, with the tariffs, he's willing to take pain. So he can hold out. However, who's that? Amy Stoddard, whatever, the liberal that they usually have on. She says...
A.B. Stoddard.
A.B., right. Yeah.
Not Amy. I'm Amy.
You're okay.
Okay?
Okay, A.B. Jacobson. All... Yeah, so only 33% of the public actually supports the wall now that they've found out that, you know, Mexico really isn't going to pay for it. So that's...
But there's already a wall in place.
Only 33%. But Ari Fleischer was pretty good. He says the Border Patrol says that a wall will help. And... Right now, what the Senate wants $5 billion, the House wants nothing, so you settle with $2.5 billion. I think Trump will take less than the 1.4 or whatever. They'll take anything just so that they can say that they've got some semblance of a wall. And the Democrats, after Nancy Pelosi gets ensconced as the Speaker, and then she doesn't know anything, and she can turn her back on the radicals in her party, just like Mitt Romney turned his back on Trump after Trump
we'll
supported him,
yeah.
Then, you know, we can come up with some kind of little deal here, because God forbid these 800,000 federal workers should not get paid, even though they should have built it in to their job, because they know that there are shutdowns all the time.
Well, 800,000, yes, and of course the Smithsonian Museum closed again. Aww. The National Zoo closed, but don't worry. They're still feeding the animals. I mean, somebody came out yesterday from Peter's like, you can't shut down the zoo. The animals are going to starve. No, idiot. They're still feeding the animals.
They're feeding them other animals.
Yeah, right. Yes. But there's one person who I want to introduce you to. He's an air traffic controller. He's the face of the shutdown, so to speak, featured all over NBC News, CNN. Air traffic controller who survived Hurricane Florence. He needs to get paid because he had to dip into his savings to, you know, fix his house after Hurricane Florence. And he has a 5-year-old boy, and he still has to pay for gas and groceries and yada, 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 yada.
I spent most of my savings on what you see here on the house. Since the hurricane, it's been off and on. I just moved in my house last month, beginning of December. I was staying at a friend's house for almost 3 months.
Because the flooding was so bad in here.
I couldn't even live. I had no air conditioning, no heating.
You used your savings.
Yes.
And you're still working on the place.
Still working on it.
And the cash, what happened to your savings is?
It's almost depleted. That was my rainy day fund, and it rained.
His rainy day fund is dried up.
Did you say he was an air traffic controller?
Yes.
You know what Reagan did to PATCO? So you're lucky you have a job!
We're going to relitigate that from the 80s. But no,
we're relitigating the Captain and Tennille from 1975 today.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Well, your favorite song. But no, but I just, you know, people just say that it's a number. It's not. It's real people. A lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, and they're not getting their paychecks. Yes, eventually they'll get paid, but this in particular guy, Matt Decker, has nothing to fall back on. 312-642-5600 is our Turnkey DepPro answer line. 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment, because I want to know who is going to cave first. Let's go to James, who joins us from Batavia. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. A quick comment. If the government is shut down, why are we swearing in a new Congress? Shouldn't Trump pull that Trump card and declare, hey, we can't swear in a new Congress because, hello, the government's shut down.
Well, a lot of people are forgoing their salary. Like Elizabeth Warren is not going to take a salary during the government shutdown.
I don't think James understands like a chess game. The pawns are in the front line. The king is not put on the front line there, and the queen, because otherwise the game would be over. So, you know, if I may use a metaphor there.
Yes. Well, how long do you think this is going to go on? They meet again tomorrow.
After Pelosi is sworn
in today as speaker.
Is today the day she becomes speaker?
Didn't you listen to the television show? Today's the day the House of Representatives falls into Democrats' hands.
You have to understand, I'm mourning the death of 76-year-olds. They say these things happen in threes.
It happened in threes.
Yeah.
To 376-year-olds.
Bob Einstein.
Oh, my gosh.
Funkhauser. Mean Gene Okerlund. And who was the other one? Oh.
Daryl Dragon?
The captain of Captain and Tennille, who basically was like Teller of Penn and Teller. You never actually heard
never
him saying
it.
He never even sang.
They had a variety show, and he never spoke.
Yeah. So it's going to, they'll come together in a few days or so, and everybody will get an illusory promise. There'll be a little bit of a wall, a little bit of DACA, and then the air traffic controller can go back to...
text message, didn't we give South America $500 billion for something? What is essential about non-essential employees? Well, because they're, you know, and I don't know if you've seen the
like jumbo
pictures
shrimp.
At Joshua's Tree and other national parks. The garbage is piling up. The you-know-whats are, the cantinas are full of you-know-what. So they're shutting down campgrounds, and they're saying can't camp here because it's not sanitary. And that's
why don't we just privatize them?
Oh, like they do in Sweden. They privatize a lot of things there. Let's go to Matt, who joins us from lovely Lake Geneva. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
All right.
You know, I hate to be the Grinch that stole Christmas here, but honestly, I don't really care. They have no problem taking 33 or 40% of my paychecks that I have and spending on things that I don't support and not building a wall that I voted for and everything else that matter. So as much as I'd like to feel bad for individuals, they work for the government. The government takes out of our taxes. And I'm not happy with what they take from my taxes that deprives my son and my family of things that we'd like to buy. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't care.
Yeah, but Matt, what about all the services you get? You know that Geneva National Golf Course, isn't that federalized? Don't you, that you play at? Isn't it?
Oh, it's not. You didn't build that.
You're talking to a guy that doesn't golf. I live 20 miles west of there. I like to go hunting and fishing. So just leave my woods alone. We'll be happy.
All right.
Yeah.
Will you leave our golf courses alone, Matt? And we'll. And by the way, Matt, in Illinois, you realize you can wear a pink vest right now as well as an orange vest when you go hunting?
You know what? Yeah, Wisconsin's got a couple years ago, too. And you know what? In a day and age where there's no specific genders and we're all he, she's, you can check X for your gender. Does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't. So are you going to go in pink? That's what I want to, because I think you look pretty in pink.
You know, I just got back from Western Wisconsin, and I use orange, and I just, I'm going to stick with the orange
that
for a few more years.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Yes.
Let's go to
real men hunt.
Real male hunt with orange, not pink. Let's go to Steve, who joins us from Hinsdale. Good morning, Steve.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've got a very good friend who works for the EPA.
Boo!
And she's delighted she's not working. She's not unhappy at all. In fact, I think she and her husband just hopped on an airplane. Who knows, Jamaica, the Caribbean. Everybody's going to be fine. The thing I wanted to ask you, Amy, is everybody says, oh, they know people who live paycheck to paycheck. I don't know of a soul. Nobody in my neighborhood does. You got to stop saying, who do you know lives paycheck to paycheck?
Well, Steve, here's the
personal information that I'm not going to exploit
here's the thing.
People I know and
They're
tell people.
Going to get
but
the
you
back
don't know
pay.
Anybody.
Steve, yes, I do.
Steve.
No, you don't.
Oh, my God.
Steve, they're going to get their back pay. Why don't we have this deal?
You know. Yeah,
this,
but a lot of people don't have mommy or daddy to call to give them money right now. In
you
the
know this thing that I think Rubio came up with, or you know, somebody that we can borrow against your Social Security if you're a young person, so that you can start raising a family and everything. You borrow. Why don't we have the federal workers borrow against their pensions, whatever, during these shutdowns? Because you
exactly.
know they certainly get
and
that's enough. That's a good enough point, I believe. They're getting paid eventually. They should build this
Thanks,
in.
Steve,
they know
the
that there's going to be a shutdown. Thank you, Steve. By
oh,
the way,
so
Steve, can I borrow a buck? Because after today, I have no more work.
The more you listen, the more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer.
Before we go to your favorite Captain and Tennille song, we're going to check in with Harold here. He's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Good morning, Harold. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm an African-American male. Mm-hmm. I'm not xenophobic, homophobic, and all those phobias that they throw on people who don't want people in this country illegally. I'm a retired police officer. I feel sorry for that young man's family. It's ridiculous that these people are pouring across the border. And nobody's trying to stop them. I look at Nancy Pelosi's house on Google. She's got a 20-foot fence around her house. Pelosi has a fence. Waters has a fence around her house. Soros has a fence around his house. Clinton has a fence around her house. Obama has a fence around his house. It's ridiculous that these people are just pouring across and nobody wants to check them. And Trump should stop arguing with, drop these people off in front of their homes. Put them in buses, take them straight to their neighborhoods, and drop them off. You see how quick the attitude would change.
All right. Thanks, Harold, for the phone
yes,
call. I
sir.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. And I, Although I don't think you're allowed.
He made a good point.
But he made that across state lines because he's in North Carolina, and he made it here. So I think he should be
No, it's true, though. Everyone has fences around their houses, and there are parts of New Mexico that need a fence.
Let the record show that Amy Jacobson is wearing the captain hat from the Captain and Tennille.
I am, because yes. Daryl Dragon of Captain and Tennille died yesterday. At the age of 76.
Do that to me one more time. Right. Once is never
this
enough.
This is their third best hit.
With a man like you. Oh. Do it to me one more time.
I can do the Daryl part.
I was absolutely in love with this couple.
I can do the Daryl part.
Yeah,
well, Love Will Keep Us Together, which is only the guitar stinger.
Yeah. All right, ready? Here, I should give you the captain's hat. You are the man here.
Somebody said that
you?
I look more like the skipper than the captain.
Love. Love will keep us together. Think of me, babe, whenever.
Put the hat on.
Some sweet talking girl comes along singing a song.
Here comes my part.
Arm rests around you. Just gotta be strong. Just stop at 10. Because I really love you. Stop. I've been thinking of you. Look in my heart and in love.
Keep us together.
Whatever.
Already?
Isn't that enough?
You belong to me now.
Can't we do the second verse at 7:47?
Ain't gonna set you free now.
That's so sad.
There are
I know
people
everyone.
Crossing the border right now.
Sarah.
Donald Trump wants to lecture us on how the Soviets needed to invade
Just
Afghanistan.
Because I really love you. Stop. I've been thinking.
All right, that's enough. All right. Just get a little carried away every so often. But
and also, as you know.
Daryl Dragon, just so you know, his wife of 40 years, who they divorced in 2014, she was by his side. He died from renal kidney failure.
Why should she have been by his side? He abandoned her, I
no.
assume.
And she said he was a brilliant musician and with many friends who loved him greatly. I was at my most creative in my life when I was with him.
That's about three paragraphs more than I needed about the Captain and Tennille.
Well, meanwhile, he was also played for the Beach Boys, and he was a trained, classically trained musician.
And Mean Gene Okerlund, age 76, died. And Bob Einstein, Albert Brooks' brother, Funkhauser, on the Larry David Show. Three 76-year-olds died, which inspired this mini parody for me.
Everybody.
Ready? Here we go. Acapella. 76 years old is much, much too soon, because 110 is the new 65.
That's all you
That's in under 200 240 characters.
You have
280 characters
until the end of the show to add on.
No.
You can add on to those.
And we'll be moving on to 77-year-olds that died today.
Oh, yes. But you knew, didn't you meet
Mean Gene?
Mean Gene?
Mean Gene, yeah. Of course, was on Channel 32. The wrestling was on Channel 32.
Yeah,
I was a new
wrestler,
sportscaster.
Right.
I was a sportscaster on Channel 32.
Wait, you're my a sportscaster?
Son, I was. I understand. So my son was 10 years old at the time, very credulous. He believed in wrestling.
Yes.
He sees me in a commercial with Mean Gene, who Mean Gene says, like, I'm his best friend. Bruce Wolf, my good friend Bruce Wolf. Well, that's the forging, the bonding between a son and his father. It's based on a fake relationship, which is the way it should be.
I would think that's so cool.
It was the coolest thing, Mean Gene. So my son texted me yesterday, Mean Gene, our guy died.
Our guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Mean Gene.
Don't tell him it was all made up on television.
He still believes in it. And when my son was 7 years old, I said, I'm telling you right now, because I'm like Trump with Santa Claus, with a 7-year-old, it's marginal. I told him, look, it's not real. And I want you to remember what I said here 20 years from now, or 10 years from now, or a day and a half from now. That it's not real, so that you know that I'm telling you the truth. But my son forgot that I said that, so what good is it?
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Green onions.
We have some text messages pouring in here. Hey, guys, when Amy sings, I turn off the radio. Rude.
It's funny because I do that too.
Turlish. Yeah. Celebrities don't die in threes. They die in corpses, just like everybody else at Steve on 88.
Sure.
Thank God the captain can only die once. I dread the show after Tony Tennille dies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know. I had the Tony Tennille haircut. That's how much I loved him. But you and Mike Scott were working on a very interesting list of people who are 76 years old, Mike, who might want to watch their back today.
Mike collected this list of 76-year-olds, people who are 76. Joe Biden, so there goes his nomination. Dick Butkus, good old number 51. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Paul McCartney, will you still need me? Will you still feed me through a tube when I'm 76? Wayne Newton, I thought he was dead.
I thought he was dead.
Yeah, I thought Wayne Newton.
He's 76, and he doesn't look good.
Carol King is 76.
My goodness.
Barbara Streisand. We still hear from her, unfortunately. Harrison Ford can't be chasing any tail. Right
Joy
now.
Behar is 76 years old.
Is she? Yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. Judge Judy. So we all move up a notch in the legal profession if she.
That is. Mike, is there anybody else on the list that we've read? That's frightening.
Several. One of my favorite character actors of all time, Chris Sarandon from Princess Bride, is 76. Susan's. Oops. Younger or older brother? I really don't know.
Ooh, that's catty of you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Susan Sarandon will be hot when she's 88 years old.
She's very good looking. Yeah. Oh,
although,
yeah.
She's in the new Ray Donovan Netflix series. Netflix series? Not sure. Ray Donovan is the series.
No, I saw the clip.
Yeah.
She doesn't. She never looks bad. Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, speaking of catty.
Lots more 76-year-olds.
Yes. Speaking of catty, things got pretty catty yesterday between Mitt Romney, who is sworn in today as a U.S. senator from the state of Utah, between him and President Trump. He wrote that op-ed that we discussed yesterday, and then late yesterday afternoon, he went on with Jake Tapper.
Why write this op-ed and why do it now?
Well, I actually wrote a very similar op-ed before I got into the primary in Utah and laid out my views with regards to the president and his presidency, and noted that I'll work with the president as I would, frankly, with any president, which is on those areas where I'm in agreement, we'll be able to work together. Where I disagree, I'll point that out. But in matters that relate to the divisiveness that's been part of our political environment, I'll speak out if I feel the need to, if there's something significant. And I think it's important as I begin this new job to make it very clear where I stand.
So the problem, what is so significant? What has President Trump done that has bothered you so much that you're risking the future of the Republican Party?
What specifically has he done that has bothered you?
Jake, she just
asked. What is the rhetoric that has come from his mouth, his actions that trouble you the most?
Well, over the course of the last 2 years, I have put out a number of statements that relate to things that were of a great concern to me. The Charlottesville response by the president was something that gave me great concern. The support for Roy Moore in the Senate race was something I was very, very concerned about. His attack on the media, I wrote an entire piece about that. So I've laid out time and again places yeah. where I disagree with yeah. the president, yeah. and I think it's very important for a president to demonstrate yeah. Yeah. The qualities of integrity yeah. and honesty.
So Shut up!
Well, he attacked his character.
Look.
But then again, he was endorsed by President Trump. Well, he actually wanted to be Secretary of State and interviewed for the position.
He accepted Trump's support. Now he turns on him. Basically, Mitt is pulling a Trump. Everybody says, you can't trust Trump? Well, you can't trust Mitt either, because they're all politicians.
Well, that's but what they, Romney seems more of the adult in the room, so to speak. But a lot of people are upset that he had the gall to question Trump's character. 312-642-5600. What do you think? No, but Mitt Romney now, he's in a new position. Is he going to be on TV every day? Is he going to be reacting to every tweet that President Trump tweets?
Probably
is this going to be the new face of the Republican Party?
Probably not every one of them, but he'll be the darling of CNN and MSNBC, whatever. And yeah, right. He accepted Trump's support. Mitt had tweeted yesterday in furtherance of his op-ed that it's more than the right policies and the right appointments. It's about character as well. And I responded to Mitt, and he hasn't listened to me yet. He hasn't responded to me. I said, it's also about winning, Mitt, because you're a loser. Mitt Romney, if he had been nominated again, he could be the Adlai Stevenson of the Republican Party, the perennial or the quadrennial, I believe that would be, loser. You know, the guy who loses with dignity. Well, we don't want a loser.
Him,
we want a winner.
They asked him if he's going to run for president.
Acknowledge the president was successful, and I was not. He did something I couldn't do. He won. And I recognize that and appreciate that. But no, I'm not running again. And we'll see whether someone else does in a Republican primary or not. But time will tell.
So he wouldn't endorse President Trump. He said, we'll see. Time will tell. Does that give you any pause or any concern?
He's a junior senator from Utah.
Utah.
Shut up.
Utah.
Yeah, worry about the 47%, Mr. Bain Capital.
But
everybody out of work.
He endorsed you, Senator Romney.
Well, you know, after he was elected president, it was very much my hope that he would rise to the occasion, rise to the mantle of the office. After all, becoming president of the United States is quite an elevation for anybody. And he has said during the campaign that he could be extraordinary presidential. When I hear that, I think of Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson and Roosevelt and Kennedy and Eisenhower. And I think of those qualities. And
you mean,
and I think that while he spoke of that and while that was my hope, I don't think he's followed through on that front the way he's followed through on some of his other promises.
You mean Kennedy with Judith Exner? Is that who you mean, Mitt? You mean Kennedy as written by Ted Sorensen? Give me a break.
Well, President Trump was none too happy.
I wish Mitt could be more of a team player. You know, I'm surprised he did it this quickly. If he fought really hard against President Obama, like he does against me, he would have won the election.
Yeah, he's right about that, because he, in that foreign policy debate, he won the first debate against Obama. And then he got co-opted by Obama in the second one. Of course, Candy Crowley was on the other side on that as well. But he could have really skewered Obama on Benghazi, and he didn't, because Mitt doesn't go for the jugular. Well, he doesn't know how to win.
It was strange because his niece, Rona Romney McDaniel, she's a GOP chairwoman, she tweeted out, she knew that this was going to happen because he gave her a heads up. She tweeted out yesterday, for an incoming Republican freshman senator to attack at real Donald Trump as their first act feeds into what the Democrats and media want and is disappointing and unproductive.
No, she's the chairwoman of the Republican Party. She has a responsibility. I respect her right to express that viewpoint. It's probably more, if you will, civil than it might have been across the dinner, the Thanksgiving dinner table, because we of course have disagreements in our family. But she's a very loyal Republican, loyal to the president, and she's doing what she thinks is best for him and for the party.
She has a right to express herself. 312-642-5600. Was Mitt Romney's op-ed and going on CNN a rotten idea? They do agree. He does believe a wall should be built, and he is still concerned, Bruce, about Russia.
Russia has a real problem. Their population is shrinking. Their workforce is shrinking. John McCain used to say that they are a gas station parading as a country. And they're in trouble. And as a result, Putin is looking around for how he can get more population and get more of an economic industrial base. And so he's looking at the former satellite states of the Soviet Union. And America has to make it very, very clear in our communication and in the things we do that that's unacceptable to us and to the world, that he can't go invading other nations. There's since World War II.
So, you know, that's where you know where he stands on the issues, because it was all, you know, criticizing Trump. But do you agree with him on certain issues? And he agrees with him that we need to build a wall. He agrees. He thinks he should be tougher on Putin.
He wanted self-deportation, if you recall. That's what he called for back in the immigration debate of 2012.
Right, but he's changed his tune, and he's going to support.
So how many Americans should die to save Ukraine? That's what I want to know.
312.
Give us a call.
Stop it. Let's go to Tony, who joins us from Plainfield. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Amy, and glad to hear you on the radio, Bruce.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I think Mitt Romney is prepping for a presidential run in 2020. I think a lot of people have that same opinion. I've heard it in my social circles and at work. So he's of course not doing the Republicans any good by coming out swinging at the president right now. And I don't think people turned him down twice before. I don't think they're going to.
Hey, Tony, how about this? I just thought of this. How about Mitt against Hillary in the consolation bracket? Okay. We have
Maybe Mitt Romney knows that Trump isn't long for Washington. I mean, maybe he knows something we don't know about Mueller investigation or what's going to happen.
Mitt Romney doesn't know anything.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He's in the know. Yes, he does. He's good looking. Tony, thank you for the phone call. When I just got catty. Let's go to Paul, who joins us from lovely Lake Forest. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Just quickly, I'll make my points, and I'll listen to your response, please. All of this that's been going on for 2 years is a distraction. We should be putting Hillary and her cohorts in jail, setting the Democrats back 50 years. They know there's a lot at stake. They know that they were doing a soft coup. They didn't think Trump had a chance. But we keep allowing these distractions to keep us away from the point. Put her in jail. Put Comey in jail. Put Rosenstein in jail. Let's get back to rule of law and liberty and stop with the distractions. The Democrats are just loving now that Mitt Romney has thrown another distraction here. They've been able to distract for 2 years. First two credos of Saul Alinsky, limit mobility. They've done that with the bicycle. Well, we got a socialist city. We know that. They've done that with the bike lanes here. Number two, create distractions and accuse people of what you're doing. That's what they're doing. Paul, I don't know why we're allowing this. There are so many people that are afraid to get on Trump's side because they think he's going to be gone in 2020 and they don't want to be aligned with him after he's gone. It's maddening.
Paul,
it's
here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Allowing
the Democrats don't care about Bill Clinton. They don't care about Bill and Hillary Clinton anymore.
No,
they just
don't.
As soon jettison them right now, too. So there's still going to be a Democratic Party. And do they have bike lanes in Lake Forest? I know it's in Chicago. But
John, who joins us from Palatine. Good morning, John. Hello, John.
Hi, Bruce and Amy.
Hi.
Hey, my comment is that Mitt Romney is just a tremendous piece of work. He's a feckless, spineless, stands for nothing. Oh. Like Paul Ryan, by the way, loser that waffles on all issues that matter. And I'd say a lot of your listeners that have convictions can't stand the guy.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm
ambivalent about Mitt.
Oh, I voted for Mitt.
No, I mean, and I just said a lot of bad stuff about him, and that's the
shame on you.
One part of me. The other part says you kind of need a guy like Mitt because Trump did yesterday try to say that the Soviet Union was justified in invading Afghanistan.
Yeah.
That's nutty. So you do need
And
Mitt.
Again, maybe he knows something that we don't know about the future of President Trump in Washington, D.C. Chris in Milwaukee. Good morning, Chris.
Hi there. Love your show, by the way. Your two calls ago, absolutely agree with everything you said as far as the distraction, which makes me feel like I shouldn't be calling because I'm adding to the distraction.
But, go ahead.
That's all right.
You know, the soundbite with asking Romney for specifics.
Right.
Charlottesville. Trump was exactly right. He just didn't defend his position. It was Antifa, one of Antifa's first Ventures, they're the ones that started that riot.
Yeah, but here's
they're
the problem.
They're the ones that are guilty.
Yeah, but the night before, those people were walking around with tiki torches, and it was creepy.
One of the things Trump said was that there were good people on both sides. And you can't say that Nazis are good people. Now, you could say that there were good old boys who just came in to take a look at this stuff. But that's...
He said there were people on all sides, not good people.
No, he said there were good people.
He said there were good people.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, he said good people. That's the problem. Yeah, right. Okay.
Did you
but you're right about Antifa.
And nobody
you're
ever
totally right
about
Antifa.
And as far as the media goes, Trump is just calling out what we've known for years. I mean, I haven't read a newspaper... and believed it in 20, 30 years.
Don't read the papers anymore.
Thanks.
They're not in print anymore.
Thanks,
anyway,
Chris.
They're just online.
But do you remember the night before, that
happened?
Yeah, people walking around with tiki torches
right.
and talking about Jewish people.
Right.
And nobody talked about that.
No, people
that was
talked
disgusting.
About it.
Disgusting.
No, people talked about it. Everybody talked
sick.
About it.
I didn't know I was living in America.
No, but the prior caller, Chris, was his name. I mean, he's right about Antifa and the cops. Also, very questionable. They funneled
everybody
they funneled them into where there could be the greatest confrontation. A lot of that didn't make any sense.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Bruce?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine. So last night watching the news... because that's what I do. It's appointment television. Yes, I'm old school. And I saw this ad, a Mike Madigan ad, and was wondering what's going on. We already had the election.
They tried to take away health care and cut funding for breast cancer screenings. They even failed to act as our veterans died. But it's a new day in Illinois with an agenda to put families first again.
To fight for affordable health care.
Equal pay for women. Keep our families safe. And for the wealthiest to pay their fair share so we can get a break.
In the fights that lie ahead, Democrats are on your side.
I mean, it's a 30-second spot paid for, of course, by Madigan's campaign fund. It's unusual because it didn't run advance of a state election. Instead, it's meant to set the tone for our efforts to create a better Illinois and move beyond the failure of Bruce Rauner and the extreme agenda of Donald Trump.
Well, did
you see it though? Because they show a
shot
of Trump
Tower.
It was
enough to nauseate me. Yeah, show Trump.
They show a picture of Trump.
So you're running against Trump. They forgot about building the wall in Illinois to keep people in, because everybody's going to run away from the state of Illinois.
Just more pandering. With that, and then the latest on the mayoral race, because we're 7 weeks away. And did you know, Bruce, that yesterday, two candidates were knocked off the ballot, so we're down to 15.
Why are mayoral races in February?
Well, we'll get to that
That's what I want to know.
But here we go. Catherine Brown de Tycoon and Roger Washington will no longer be on the ballot.
I didn't even know that they were.
I don't even know who they are.
Is Laura America First Daily? And I know Bill Daly, America Second, is in.
Petition challenges are still pending against Dorothy Brown, LaShawn Ford, and Neil Sales Griffin.
And Benjamin Adamowski.
Who?
Yeah, Benjamin Adamowski actually was a Republican who gave Richard J. Daley a run for his money in 1961 or something like that.
And that's why we're glad you're here. And we're also glad that Austin Berg is here. He joins us. He wrote an article in the Tribune just about the mayor's race, and it gives us a shot at a new Chicago. Austin, or Mr. Berg, how is that even possible? Can we really hope for change this time around?
Yeah, so we all know Chicago has these huge problems, right? We've got very high crime relative to other big cities measured by the homicide rate. We have all this parent and teacher unrest in the schools. We have this massive debt. But we're not the only city that's ever faced these things, right? Like, well, lots of other cities have faced problems as bad or worse over the years. So me and a co-author a couple of years ago set out to ask a couple simple questions to civic leaders, and we looked at the 15 largest cities in the U.S., including Chicago, and we asked sort of, how did you do it? How are you structured? How have you avoided these poor decisions that have led us down this road in Chicago? And so we came out with this book that's kind of a collection of those solutions, and it just came out yesterday. It's called The New Chicago Way, Lessons from Other Big Cities. So that's the reason we wrote the book, was to kind of give people like the mayoral candidates, like average people in Chicago, a vocabulary for how to talk about what's actually wrong with city government.
You know, and I was trying to tee it up for you a little bit, and I'm sure you noticed.
This is,
by the way, no to our affiliates out there. This is a softball interview that I'm doing right now, okay, as opposed to the one we did with Gary McCarthy about 10 days ago. So, I think liberals would like this idea that you have, because they're always talking about voter suppression. Why do we have elections for the mayor in February when no one's voting?
Well, no one's here. No one's happy. You guys know I've lived in Chicago for a lot of years. No one likes this. February's the worst. It's terrible. And the people, the only people who really trudge through the slush to get to the ballot box every February are disproportionately special interests. So we talk about all this all the time, sort of through the 50s, 60s, 70s. You had the old man daily Chicago machine. And what we found a lot of in this book was, old man Daley's gone, but a lot of the vestiges of that structure that allowed him to maintain power for so long still exist. And in other cities, they don't. They don't have the strongman mayor system. One of the biggest ways that they were able to maintain that for so long is that elections are held when people don't vote. They hold them in February.
I mean, how many people do you think are going to show up to vote?
Usually it's regularly half the turnout of a presidential year in Chicago is who turns out for municipal elections. And by the way, no other major city in the U.S. has its elections in February, not even Sunbelt states where it's warm in February. Wow. Almost all of them have them in November, and a lot of them have them in November of presidential years.
Right. And then if Rahm can, you know, keep the lid on a Laquan McDonald video past February, he's home free. So here's another thing, the thing that you pointed out in this Tribune commentary that you did, which I found fascinating. And we actually posed this question to former Alderman Fioretti yesterday, and he was in agreement with you on this. So you might be able to build a consensus.
Great, get him on board.
There we go. Now, if we could only get him elected something. So, but you said Chicago's financial problems are nothing new. The city holds more pension debt than 44 of the 50 states. Los Angeles, however, a city with 45% more people and double the land area, pays roughly the same amount of Chicago for police and fire, and yet they've got a much better situation. And then you make some suggestions, and I must confess, I read the suggestions, and I memorized them, but why do these things, tell us what they are.
Yeah, why does it work in LA and not Chicago?
And why would they work?
That's a great question, let me tell you. So Chicago we've really had no fiscal controls in Chicago for decades and decades and decades. Other cities have implemented some of them. So we looked at three. One is an elected controller. We have one of those at the state level. We don't have one at the city level. A lot of other cities have an elected controller. They serve as kind of an adversarial, sometimes partner in the budgeting process, which is really good. The mayor has no adversaries in Chicago. There are no checks and balances in the American political tradition. The second thing was voter approval for tax hikes or new debt. What a novel idea that you should actually go to voters and have to prove to them why you need this money before you get it. And then third was this kind of a robust professional city council that's actually equipped to engage in the budget process. Chicago is the only city of the 15 largest to have zero of those three. So it's not surprising that we have the most municipal debt per capita. It's not surprising that we're, you know, near junk rated. It's not surprising that we have more pension debt than 44 of the 50 states when you don't have any of these structural checks to keep the mayor on his toes.
And we have way too many aldermen.
Right.
And especially, too, so many people are moving out. Don't you think eventually we're going to shrink the number of city council members?
You would hope so. It's really a clown car. There's no reason to have 50 Chicago city council members. The average big city has about 117,000 people per alderman. Chicago's hovering somewhere around 55,000 per alderman. The other thing is,
well, why does that hurt? I mean, you know, and I tried to, it sounded good again, but you know, there's something wrong with my brain. It sounds good to me. Why do you need why do you need fewer aldermen? So that each one of those would have more power vis-a-vis the mayor? Is that what it boils down to?
That's part of it. So, okay. Yeah, so the part of the problem is that the mayor can appoint many. Over the last 28 years, the mayor has appointed 28 aldermen. So it's not a real check on the executive in any way, especially when you have the executive as the one who's putting them into office directly. The other problem is that they're doing things like, if you want a sign hung at your business, you got to go to the alderman.
Yep.
If you want a sidewalk cafe, you got to go to the alderman. If you want to build anything other than a single family home, you have to go to the alderman. So you rely at least on the ambivalence of this alderman, which itself is an antiquated term. It's like an elder, right? on you know, the prosperity of yourself and your business. So aldermen, instead of focusing on citywide issues like the things we've been talking about, like this massive debt problem, like why do we hold elections in February? They have no interest in those. They're focused on these tiny, minute details in their wards. And the big decisions are left to the big chief, who is the mayor.
They're all glorified precinct captains.
Well, yeah,
is what they come down to.
Speaking of the mayor, so we have a field of 15 right now. It could shrink. 7 weeks left. Who do you like? Who do you think will be the best for Chicago that's aligned with your ideas that are in your new book?
Yeah, so really the book was sort of about why there's kind of a typo in our thinking in Chicago, which is who is going to save the city. The real question is, how do we change city government so that someone can change the city, who, regardless of who wins? If they aren't talking about these structural issues, they're going to fail. So a massive suggestion in the book, it's the biggest, it's the most simple recommendation, is that Chicago is the largest city in the U.S. by far without a written city constitution. It has no real city charter. So I would really, really love for a mayoral candidate. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a lot of us. There's never been an election that's this, quote-unquote, open, right? There's so many candidates, but none of them are even talking about these sort of structural issues. Why can't Chicago have a city charter that residents vote on? I would love to see a mayoral candidate, regardless of, their other political beliefs, come out and say that voters of Chicago deserve to vote on a written constitution for their government.
Well, what does a constitution do for a city?
So it allows the other types of changes that we're talking about, and it allows you to change them over time. So when we're talking about elections, when we're talking about the structure of city council, when we talk about fiscal controls with someone like an elected controller, all of that is really hard to do without a written constitution. And by the way, the state needs to step in and allow for that, because Illinois, state law makes that very difficult. So with J.B. Pritzker coming into office, he has the opportunity to be talking about these issues as well, which is kind of why we wrote this book in the first place.
Okay, so I'll take it. Your answer was none of the above, none of the 22 candidates. Thank you so much, Austin.
And Mr. Berger, real quick, what we played on the outset, the Mike Madigan statewide TV ad, what did you think when you saw that?
So I wrote a movie, a documentary on Madigan a couple years ago.
I saw that.
And
it was
great. Everybody can go watch it at michaelmadigan.com.
Yep.
Which we secured because the man
cool.
does not own a cell phone or use the internet.
Oh, that is so funny that you got his name.
That
they have his domain.
I think, so if you, I've looked into a lot of Madigan's history. That ad might be one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen him do. And at the end, he almost looks like a CGI kind of character.
That's perfect.
Which I thought was kind of an odd touch.
There is no Madigan. He's a George Lucas creation. He can't be.
But, and a goofy timing. Yeah. And then
So the book is called The New Chicago Way, Lessons from Other Big Cities. It will not be read by any of the candidates, but we should read that.
And we should mention that you're also director of content strategy for the Illinois Policy Institute. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've been playing Captain and Tennille songs all morning. And people hate when I sing. Thank you.
I love when you sing. You have a beautiful voice.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that. But now we have some Mean Green. What's his name?
Mean Gene.
Mean Gene. Your friend, Mean Gene.
Mean Gene Okerlund. I did a promo with him about 30 years ago.
You like my shirt, Gene? You want to touch it? That's enough.
Hey, real good impression there, you What about the rest of you pissants? Anybody else want to do impressions?
Hey, old man, why don't you shut up?
What do you call him?
Hey, blow it out your hair. I got guys that can take out your kneecaps.
And you're telling me that that was all staged?
It's hard to believe that that those are Shakespearean actors. Mean Gene Okerlund and Bobby the Brain Heenan or whoever.
Yes. Well, just in case you were wanting to get out your pea hat. Do you have a pea hat? I know you have
Who
your
doesn't?
Captain and
Got
Tennille
my
hat
Captain
today.
And Tennille hat.
There's been two women marches that have been canceled. Here's why. There's one that was set to take place in Humboldt County, California next month. Mm-hmm. Well, they've canceled the plans over concerns. Are you ready for this? That the event might be overwhelmingly white. So they wrote on the Facebook page that up to this point, the participants have been overwhelmingly white, lacking representation from several perspectives in our community. So instead of pushing forward with this, they're going to all get together on the International Women's Day on March 8th.
But that's,
do you have that on your calendar?
That may be one reason. Another reason that, like, the Louisiana March is going to be canceled is because the leaders of the Women's March movement are anti-Semitic, as reported by the New York Times and Tablet magazine.
Oh,
so,
really?
So there's a schism there amongst the women.
Oh, I hate this happens.
I hate
to
when
the
women
ladies.
Fight with each other.
Oh, wow. It's so catty. Yeah. We're supposed to support each other. Wasn't it Margaret Thatcher that said there's a special place in hell for women who don't support other women?
The thing about Margaret Thatcher is technically she was not a woman.
Oh, I met her once
she was
in Tucson.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. She was.
She wouldn't let me ask any questions, but she just came out.
She's what's called a virago, a woman in a virago. It's a woman in name only.
It
should be a vino, I guess, but a wino, a wino. So, but no, she Margaret Thatcher was a man.
She was not a man, please.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Chicago police have had a rough go of it last year. Well, the two police officers who were killed on the train tracks and also the one that was killed inside Mercy Hospital, they had a fundraiser for them last night at Joe's on Weed Street. That was good to help the surviving family members. And recently, and the other day, there was a suicide by a police officer on the Northwest Side. And to find out what they're doing to try and help officers who are in distress, let's welcome back to the program Kevin Graham, president of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning. I got to apologize. I'm just getting over being sick, so you got to forgive my voice a little bit.
Oh, it's all right. You sound fine. And I know what it's like. Well, I had a cold for about 3 weeks, and it still won't go away. But the serious matter of police suicide, what are they doing? What is the department doing? What is the FOP doing to try and stop this? Because I know things happened last year, but then we had another suicide just the other day.
I've actually left a message for the superintendent. I expect him to be calling me today. Left a message with him yesterday, asking him that we do a video together that's going to go out to all the members to make sure that they know that, yes, there is help out there. One of the things that I think our members don't understand is that our Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance does cover seeking help. We have a number of people, if they choose not to go to employee assistance, peer support, that they can go to. We have people to recommend. And so we want to make sure that they know that there is help out there and that it will not adversely affect their job.
I mean, the 36-year-old police officer who died from that self-inflicted gunshot wound is the fifth suicide by a police officer in the last 6 months.
And it doesn't have to be that way. We need to make sure that we get out that information and they know that they are not alone. And part of what I need to do as president of the FOP is make sure that we get as much information out there as possible so that people don't feel like they're desperate. We all feel depressed from time to time. And unfortunately, having a job as a police officer, it's an additional weight. the things we do every day, the things we see every day. And we have to make sure that officers are debriefed and get the psychological help that they need to deal with those matters. And I don't think we've been hitting the mark. I think we are getting better. They have hired more clinicians. They haven't hired enough. And there needs to be pressure on the department, on the city, to make sure that we hire more. And I think that that will help.
Well, I hate to have you address this when you're just getting over a cold. I want to let you.
It's okay.
All right. So is Kim Fox, let's start it out this way, is she too easy on criminals?
You know what? We have, yes. That is part of the problem. We need to make sure that we are prosecuting people. Look, if the courts decide in a jury or by a judge that we haven't met the elements of the offense, that's fine. But I think we need to have the maximum charges placed against many of the people for violent crimes. And we also need to have a bond court that's responsive to the public needs. We cannot just be giving I bonds to people. That's individual or cognizance sure. bonds, so they don't have to put up any cash. They walk out on their signatures so that they are going right back to doing the crimes of which they were arrested for. So it is a you have to look at it in multiple ways. That is one of our big problems. However, we have had some success within the police department. I don't want to get off the subject. Did that answer your question?
It's a start here. I may want to get to a couple of specific cases. I saw John Cass had written about this, I think it was the other day, about the guy who punches a guy, knocks him out unconscious. People stand around. It's like the Kitty Genovese case.
And no one went to
from
help.
Many, many years yeah. ago. But and
well,
the
they
guy,
sit around and then he eventually gets run over by a taxi.
He gets run over, and that should have been raised to like involuntary manslaughter. And I can see that case because he knocked them out and the guy's lying there helpless on the street. But then on the other hand, you have this horrible, horrible accident, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, where the two officers were hit by the train. And that guy, former Superintendent McCarthy, who appeared on this show, actually was calling for involuntary manslaughter charges. And according to a Sun-Times article, Professors Richard Kling of Chicago Kent and Jeffrey Erdingen of DePaul, or rather of Northwestern, said that that's going too far on that particular case. I mean, the law is line drawing here. You don't want to overstate a case. And I just wanted to know where the Fraternal Order of Police stands on this.
You know, I started off by saying, I think that there are times, and that is one of them, that you need to increase the penalties, increase the charges against someone. I understand that he came down with his hands up. I understand that, and that should be taken into account by the jury or the judge.
But that's after the second round of police officers approached him. I mean, the first round of police officers.
Wait, which case are you talking
about? I'm talking about Edward Brown, who is 24, who just faces felony weapons charges. And I believe wholeheartedly that he should be charged with involuntary manslaughter. Two counts of involuntary manslaughter.
And you are absolutely correct. And I think
so you would disagree with the two law professors on that? You're just saying you would,
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. I would. Okay, two police officers went up to do their job, and because of the actions of an individual, mm-hmm. okay, and I understand you wanting to have sympathy for him, but because of his actions, there are two officers who cannot go home to their families.
I totally understand that, but my question is, wasn't there an intervening action there where the officers, and we could any one of us could have done this, and it's horrible.
No.
No, Bruce.
What do you mean? Any one of us could have not paid attention to the fact that there was a train coming in the opposite direction.
You were, no.
Right?
It's the South Shore line. It's electrical line.
But you're supposed
to. Look, we could argue about this all day long. I think we were talking about the crime. And the position of the FOP is that they should be charged with the maximum charges. Two officers lost their lives responding to a call because an individual decided to go up on the railroad tracks and fire off a gun. Yes. And because of that, those actions, two officers lost their lives.
Well,
now, okay. Now, I understand having compassion for people, but the other side to that is they need to be charged, and the charges that that result from that when they go to court. That's up, the mitigating circumstances is up to a judge and a jury.
Right. Well, also, I don't want to stop there. I want the gun owner to be charged. I mean, is that story held up that he lost his gun while he was taking the garbage out and it was in a fanny pack and this guy, Edward Brown, on his way home from culinary school, got out to use the bathroom to relieve himself and found the gun? I mean, it just seems like a cockamamie story.
So you're saying the gun owner should be charged with murder too?
Bruce, let me answer. Has that story changed?
Yeah, as far as I know, it has not changed. And I will pose this to anyone listening. If you find a gun, you have a responsibility to call the police and turn it in. I mean, obviously, that's a dangerous weapon and should be turned over to the proper authorities. To sit there and say, "Well, now I'm going to go up to the railroad tracks and shoot a gun off," you've taken a further act of inference in your crime.
Right, let me ask you this, Mr. Graham: should the gun owner be charged with murder as well?
You know what? I don't know enough about the.
So you would actually entertain the notion that the gun owner who left the gun there should be charged with murder?
Bruce, I don't know enough about that case about his statement.
Well, you know enough about what you need to know. Just remind people,
if you own a gun, that is a huge responsibility. And you just leave it in a fanny pack by a garbage can? No. There's something. You know, he's got to be charged with something, I think.
People do lose property, okay? I understand that. I don't know what his explanation is other than what you said to me today. And what I've heard on the news report.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Graham. Here's the problem, as I see it, okay? I'm pro-police, okay?
I
support the work of Heather McDonald of the Manhattan Institute. I'm sure you're familiar with Heather McDonald. She wrote the book, The War on Cops. Because she'll come up with statistics like how nutty the New York Times is when the New York Times complains, why are 80% of the arrests of black people when they're only 12% of the population? Well, that's who's committing the crimes. She's right about that, and she's very pro-cop. But even she was critical of the police union in Chicago and Gary McCarthy in the handling of the Jason Van Dyke case. And what happens is that when you overstate a case, like I believe you are, and Professors Kling and Erdogan of Chicago Kent and Northwestern are respectively, saying when you overstate a case like you are against this guy, in the train situation, then you
Which guy are you talking about? The guy on the train tracks.
Okay. When you overstate that case, then you kind of muddy the waters here. And a perfectly legitimate case for involuntary manslaughter, like the guy, Marcus Gaines, who died after the guy punched him in the face and he was left in the street to be run over by a cab. Then you kind of muddy up the whole thing. The law is line drawing. And I got a feeling that, and I understand, and I sympathize because, you know, you hate to see these cops die, but I think you're just going a little too far, and you're going to alienate the populace that way unless you toe the line.
Bruce, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that the act of somebody should be held accountable and should be held to the maximum amount of the law, considering two police officers died. I think you're understating what the situation is. And I've never said, and I said it just a few minutes ago, if those mitigating circumstances play well for a jury or a judge, then they can take that into account. But I do believe that people should be charged with the maximum when two public servants die doing their job because of the reckless act of someone else.
Yeah. All right. Lastly, with the homicide numbers are in for 2018, 660 fewer homicides than 2017. Are we doing anything different? Are the cops, police officers doing anything different? And how can we get that number down even further?
Well, I think it's what I said when I came into office, and that is that we didn't have enough police officers. We had reduced the police department by 1,000 officers. Mm-hmm. We had closed 3 police stations, 2 detective areas. And as we build back up to the number that we need, and now we have additional mandates where we are going to be entering into additional training, We're going to be entering into more community policing. We're going to need to hire more police officers. And that number really should be somewhere around 14.5 to combat all the things that the city wants done. So I think we can, if we hire more police officers, we continue with the training, continue with community policing, we get the ACLU off of our backs with the long ISR cards, mm-hmm. Then I think we can see a real reduction. And, you know, and I'm not here to plan out the city. Believe me, I'm the only guy apparently that doesn't want to be mayor.
But, congratulations.
Yeah. But, you know, we want to make sure that people coming into the city and that live in the city feel safe. That's how business thrives. That's how people want to be living down here. That's how people want to move around. And so I want to do everything I can to make sure that people are safe who live here and who come in here to enjoy what the city has to offer.
All right. We'll have to leave it there for today. Thank you so much, Kevin Graham, president of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police. I hope you feel better soon.
Thanks very much.
Thanks,
and have a good day. Thanks.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
If you're a business owner and you want to kick off the year correctly, you should become a business benefactor. $2,500 donation. The money goes to Food for the Poor. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you 40 60-second commercials. How do they become a business benefactor, Bruce Wolf?
I'll tell you. Here's what they do. They call sales manager Anjanette Natkowski at 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951 and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
And again, there's still time to take advantage of this incredible deal. This is the station that you're going to want to advertise with in 2019.
Aren't there other stations?
No, not the mess going on up the dial there. AM 560 is where it is at. So call Anjanette today and become a business benefactor. And do you have a list there of some businesses? What about Strategia Consulting?
I certainly do. The Attorneys of Levin and Brend, the American Association of Matrimonial Lawyers, Cumulus Media. Oh, you know, Trek Bike Shop in Downers Grove, Seiko Refrigeration Company, Kevin S. Doherty Insurance, Star Mobile. I'm sorry. Strike that one that I mentioned there.
Yeah, please.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, today is the day. It's a new era in Washington, D.C. at Capitol Hill. The Democrats take over the House of Representatives. And
Representative Brad Sherman plans to introduce articles of impeachment today.
That didn't take long. Well, yesterday, a new senator who will be sworn in today, former governor of Massachusetts, and now the senator from the state of Utah, Mitt Romney.
Son of a failed presidential contender, himself.
Yes, twice. Mitt Romney. Yeah, twice. Yeah. Well, there's no, you know, love lost between him and President Trump. Let me remind you of their journey, their relationship together.
There's plenty of evidence that Mr. Trump is a con man, a fake. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat.
Mitt is a failed candidate. He failed. He failed horribly. That was a race that absolutely should have been won, and I don't know what happened to him.
He creates scapegoats of Muslims and Mexican immigrants. He calls for the use of torture. This is the very brand of anger that has led other nations into the abyss.
Poor Mitt Romney. Poor Mitt. I mean, I have a sword that's worth more money than he is.
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University.
And he walks like a penguin onto the stage. You ever seen? Like a penguin.
Oh, my God. So it has gotten ugly with these two. But I thought, you know, they kissed and made up.
They did.
When he was running for U.S. Senate, President Trump endorsed him. After President Trump won, when he was filling his cabinet positions, He interviewed Mitt Romney to be Secretary of State.
And now Mitt has pulled a Trump. He has sold out Trump. He got his support to run for Senate, the Senate in Utah. As soon as he gets elected, first thing he does right before he's going to be sworn in is turn on Trump. That's a Trumpian thing to do. That's very
good. Other senators have questioned President Trump, and they're not here anymore. Corker, Jeff Flake. This is why, you know, so Mitt Romney wrote, excuse me, Senator Mitt Romney, soon to be senator, senator-elect, wrote the op-ed in the Washington Post. And then he went on with CNN with Jake Tapper.
What specifically has he done that has bothered you? What is the rhetoric that has come from his mouth, his actions that trouble you the most?
Well, over the course of the last 2 years, I have put out a number of statements that relate to things that were of a great concern to me. The Charlottesville response by the president was something that gave me great concern. The support for Roy Moore in the Senate race was something I was very, very concerned about. His attack on the media, I wrote an entire piece about that. So I've laid out time and again places where I disagree with the president, and I think it's very important for a president to demonstrate the qualities of integrity and honesty, forthrightness, empathy, and respect for the institutions of our Democratic Republic.
So he starts his time in the Senate with a big public push criticizing Trump. So it made me think maybe Mitt Romney knows something, you know, that
no,
we don't know, that Trump isn't long for Washington.
No, use the Occam's razor explanation.
I'm growing that in my side yard. I love that.
The simplest explanation is, you know, Trump is a boob. Okay, fine. But you're supposed to be a team player. So, and you're not, Mitt. You want, hey, why don't you join Rahm Emanuel in trying to get a job as a commentator on MSNBC?
Well, he did say yesterday that he's not going to be, you know, constantly criticizing President Trump for every tweet that he makes. But I don't know about that. And then, you know, does Mitt Romney have a right to criticize President Trump, especially after his 90-minute, I thought, bizarre press conference that he had where he invited in his cabinet members and he invited in the media. And he talked about crazy things about how we have good-looking generals, some that are even better-looking than Tom Cruise and stronger. But he also went off on the Soviet Union and their invasion of Afghanistan.
We're going to do something that's right. We are talking to the Taliban. We're talking to a lot of different people. But here's the thing, because you mentioned India. India is there. Russia is there. Russia used to be the Soviet Union. Afghanistan made it Russia because they went bankrupt fighting in Afghanistan, Russia. So you take a look at other countries. Pakistan is there. They should be fighting. But Russia should be fighting. The reason Russia was in Afghanistan was because terrorists were going into Russia. They were
wrong
to be there.
Wrong.
The problem is it was a tough fight.
Wrong.
And literally, they went bankrupt. They went into being called Russia again, as opposed to the Soviet Union. You know, a lot of these places you're reading
about.
Shut up.
Here's the problem.
And please correct him where he has failed.
Did anybody watch Special Report, Brett Baer's supposed, you know, neutral view of what went on? Because I fast forward through it, and I didn't see this last little bit of this last soliloquy by Trump on a special report yesterday, but correct me if I'm wrong. The problem is Trump is wrong. We boycotted the 1980 Olympics in Moscow for a reason, because the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. There were no terrorists
from Afghanistan
in the Soviet Union. He's conflating something. He's confused. Of course, nobody in the room has the temerity or the audacity to say the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. He's like Spicoli talking to Mr. Hand. Actually, Spicoli was smart at the end. He actually knew what was going on and what was so bogus. And Trump is not making any sense here. So I don't like Mitt Romney not being a team player, but somebody has to set Trump. And you know what? I'll bet you any money after he said that, somebody whispered in his ear, "You realize you don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Trump."
Do you think somebody did? Of course nobody did. I'm wondering
if somebody told Fox, "Hey, could you lay low on this, on what he did with regard to the Soviets in Afghanistan?" Because did anybody on Fox last night mention it? Tell me.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey debt pro answer line. 64636. DA, then a quick comment. Because Mitt Romney, though, was asked about Russia and had a very solid normal, commanding, trustworthy answer.
Russia has a real problem. Their population is shrinking. Their workforce is shrinking. John McCain used to say that they are a gas station parading as a country. And they're in trouble. And as a result, Putin is looking around for how he can get more population and get more of an economic industrial base. And so he's looking at the former satellite states of the Soviet Union. And America has to make it very, very clear in our communication and in the things we do that that's unacceptable to us and to the world.
I mean, he seems so more well-versed on foreign
policy.
Who
cares whether he's well-versed? Well, we got enough people to handle Trump. Look,
do
Mitt
we?
Romney, I agree with Mitt Romney. And in 2012, in the debates, he talked about how Russia was a great concern of ours. And Obama said the 1980s just called for their foreign policy. Then the Democrats turn around and, of course, the Russians are the ones who are colluding with Trump to destroy America. I mean, it's so...
Is Mitt Romney setting up to run in 2020? That question was asked.
Acknowledge the president was successful, and I was not. He did something I couldn't do. He won. And I recognize that and appreciate that. But no, I'm not running again. And we'll see whether someone else does in a Republican primary or not, but time will tell.
Ooh, time will tell. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Chris, who joins us from the Gold Coast. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Amy and Bruce. I think he's going to try and run, but I think he's, you know, doesn't have a chance. But I wanted to go back to his comment about Charlottesville, because I think this has really been mischaracterized. Trump did say that there were good people on both sides. But the good people were not the Nazis versus Antifa.
Right, right.
The good people were actually on the side of either wanting to take down the Southern statues or not wanting to take down Southern statues. That's what that rally was about. And the media has just simply tried to portray it as Nazis versus Antifa and Trump saying that Nazis are good. That is not what he said if you listen to the context of that whole conversation.
You know, you may be right about that. And there also were good old, you know, somebody pointed out, you know, there were good old boys who came around who just wanted to see what was going on. Well, so and right, the statue thing, you even got a guy like guy like David French of National Review, who's considered like liberal in National Review, who writes in favor of the statues.
Well, the statues okay, were so, here when President Obama was in office for 8 years and nobody made a big deal. But as soon as President Trump gets into office, now all these Confederate statues have to come down. We have to re-race our entire history.
Chris, your point is well taken, but the only problem is that this was right after the Tiki Torch parade.
Yeah,
and
that
everybody
was a
thinks
problem.
That's what he's referring to, and Trump is not clear.
That happened the day after. They actually tore down one of the statues. That whole rally was about the statues, and then it morphed into this whole Nazi thing after the fact. And what Trump was responding to, and totally taken out of context now, was about the statues and there were good people on both sides of that issue.
Well, I don't think it was
Chris
clear at the time,
call.
But thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
I'm trying to go now. I got to go back because a lot of times he is taken out of context, including, as you mentioned yesterday, the Santa Claus comments to the 7-year-old when he said it was marginal. If you look at it from
her
the standpoint
perspective,
the 7-year-old, it was actually an innocent
cute
thing.
And she was so excited. I don't even think she realized what question he was asked. She's like, "Oh yes, sir, I believe in Santa."
Plus, he may have been winking to the cameraman there, saying because he was using words like marginal.
Well, he
which
was
no 7-year-old even
he
understands.
Was home alone. For this for this break.
How long do you think the government's going to stay partially shut down?
Could be a long time, or it could be quickly. Could be a long time. It's too important a subject to walk away from. I was here on Christmas evening. I was all by myself in the White House. It's a big, big house, except for all the guys out on the lawn with machine guns. Nicest machine guns ever.
That's
I
good
was waving
stuff.
To them. I never saw so many guys with machine guns in my life. Secret Service and military, these are great people. And they don't play games. They don't like wave. They don't even smile. But I was there all alone with the machine gunners, and I felt very safe, Ben, I have to tell you.
Machine gunners. Let's go to...
I mean, he's no Louis C.K.
No.
But
no,
he's good.
He tried. Yeah. Let's go to Sean, who joins us from Elmwood Park. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Well, good morning. I have to say about the Mitt Romney thing.
Yeah.
This fraud from his burlap underwear, you want to talk about a self-aggrandizing failure. There has never been another. Do you realize what a failed governor he was? That he is truly our version of Barack Obama.
Wait, why was he a failed governor?
What are you talking about?
Massachusetts healthcare? Yeah.
Bankrupted Massachusetts. Bankrupted it. He's a bum. He didn't do one thing good. He was run out of Massachusetts. So much so that where does he have to go? The only state that would elect the burlap-wearing Mormon. The only state. Utah. There's 72 people, and he barely won. He is a punchline. And here's the other thing, Amy. I understand he's an attractive punchline. And if he didn't look like a poor version of Clark Kent, one would vote for him.
Sure.
He gets the dingbat vote. That's who votes for Mitt
Romney. Yeah, I voted for Mitt Romney. Did you vote for him in 2012, Sean?
No, he didn't.
No, of course not.
Well, who did you vote for?
I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for Bruce Rauner. I think it's important when you vote. And that's why I didn't vote for Trump. It's important when you vote. You need to carry that with the weight it deserves. We get conned election after election.
Well, wait, who did you vote for? Who did you vote for in the last
election?
I didn't
vote. I wrote none of the above. When I don't like them, I
wrote
none of the
above. Let me ask you this.
You're a cop out.
I will not be a useful idiot.
And let me ask you this.
That's a useful idiot.
No, just listen to me, sir. Listen to me, Sean from Elmwood Park. Do you vote for none of the above for the Supreme Court of the United States instead of Brett Kavanaugh? Did you vote for none of the above? Instead of Neil Gorsuch, did you vote for none of the above? Instead of Amy Coney Barrett, did you vote for none of the above? Instead of the ghost of Felix Frankfurter, are you going to vote for none of the above? Is that what you're going to do?
No, I reject the authority when they fraud us. I reject the authority when half.
Shut up.
All right. Okay,
like
Sean.
Like Elena Kagan are put on it, and are Sotomayor, or when John Roberts rewrites the law so he can pass it. I reject the Supreme Court for what it is, a political hack fraud. All it is.
Thank
and
you,
they
Sean.
Wear burlap
Thank
underwear
you,
on the Supreme
let's
Court.
Let's squeeze in Debbie, who has a comment to make about a comment I made earlier. Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Hi, Amy. I'm well. How are you?
Good. We had to stop the boys from bickering.
And I know you know what I'm going to say, but in the last hour, I heard you refer to Margaret Thatcher as being behind the statement about women who don't support other women have a special place in hell. That was actually Madeleine Albright.
Oh.
Big difference. Big difference.
Same hairdo,
I think
but
Thatcher
big difference.
Would be rolling over in her grave if she knew that statement was
because,
being attributed
because,
to her.
Because Margaret Thatcher was not part of the sisterhood, you know. No,
Thank
she never would
Debbie.
Have said that.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Pointing that out.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Did you hear the story about this young lady? She's 22 years old.
I'm afraid I'm going to hear it now.
Alexandra Black. She recently graduated from Indiana University and then started working at a North Carolina Wildlife Conservatory. And 10 days after she started working there, they were the husbandry team, that's what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
They were carrying out a routine cleaning when the lion left in the locked space and quickly attacked her and killed her. So,
and why are we talking about this?
Well, their response was to put the animal down right away, but it's an animal. I mean, that's, you know, it's like hombre. Or what was that guy? Not hombre. What was his name?
Margaret Thatcher?
What's his name? Harambe.
Harambe.
Remember when they killed Harambe because that mom was
your friendly
was negligent
gorilla.
and then
well, but there was a reason.
Kid fell in the pit and and Harambe didn't have to die.
But once they taste human blood or something,
Harambe didn't have to die. That's fine. Excuse me, I was so upset by that.
Isn't the reason that once they taste human blood, they never want to go back?
I don't know, but it took 8 bullets and 3. Darts. Tranquilizer darts. You remember the dart?
I know from a...
Ow!
Ow!
Yeah.
Yes! That's awesome! What? You just took one in the jugular, man! Whoa. Yes! Oh my god. Oh my god, I did. Is this bad? Is this bad?
You should pull that out.
Wait. Pull what out? The dart, man.
You got a dart.
Is that
in
a
your
Will
neck.
Ferrell movie?
Yeah, old school. Did you ever see it?
Yes. I intuited that it was a Will Ferrell movie. It just sounded like
a
Ferrell cat.
Horrible situation. Yes. I'm a horrible person. And we did this story just to play the drop.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. on AM 560, The Answer.
More of Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy comes your way now. And make sure to join me, Larry Elder, tonight at 7, only on AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, yeah, the sage of L.A., Larry Elder. My mom actually has a crush on him. Now, isn't that embarrassing?
Not at all.
It's lovely. President Trump yesterday held a 90-minute gab fest with the media, invited in his cabinet members. It looked like, you know what it reminded me of? A scene out of House of Cards, but it was a little... It went off the rails when he talked about the Soviet Union. And when he talked about DACA, he made a little sense.
No, if President Obama is allowed to do what he did on DACA, then I'm allowed to do whatever I want to do on things that, you know, probably a president, as he said, probably a president doesn't have the right to do.
It's reparations.
Yes.
Trump is a make good for Obama. And for Clinton, and maybe even for FDR. So, yeah, it's reparations.
With more on that. And then today, the House of Representatives falling into Democratic hands. Let's get the latest with Larry Elder, our brother in sound, who you can listen to the Larry Elder Show right here on AM 560, The Answer, weekdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Good morning, Larry, and welcome back to the program.
Morning, Amy and Bruce. How are you?
We're good. Great. So what did you think yesterday of... I mean, there's a lot of the news that happened yesterday, but
right.
Let's start with President Trump's sporadic, like, unannounced 90-minute press conference.
Yeah, there's always a lot of news with this president. It never ends. Look, in his defense, Amy and Bruce, what I think he meant when he said Obama did this thing with DACA is that when Obama was running, and early on in Obama's term, when the left put all this pressure on him to legalize all these people and change all these immigration laws, he kept saying, "I used to teach constitutional law at the University of Chicago. I can tell you I do not have the legal authority to do this, that, and the other," and then promptly did it. And so mm-hmm. what Trump is saying is, when he makes arguments that I could use the money out of the defense budget and people say you can't, he's saying, why can't I do what Obama did? What Obama did was clearly illegal by his own admission. What I'm doing is shifting money around, and I'm getting all this flack. I don't get it. That's what his frustration is, I believe.
Yeah, you know, Larry, you're a successful talk show host, and I'd like to be someday, although I'm getting really old. Here's the problem. You know, here's the thing.
I feel the same way.
You're doing a good job. It's a lot of it's a matter of emphasis. So, and I get defensive. I voted for Trump. I'm sure I'm going to wind up voting for him again. But there are times when he says things, okay, that, like the Soviet Afghanistan thing, he actually got wrong about the Soviet Union. And I know as a talk show host, you don't really want to talk about it because at that moment, you're talking about it and a listener is saying, what are you doing that for? It may as well be MSNBC.
I don't feel that way at all. When he says something stupid, when he says something that I think is wrong-headed, when he makes a decision, for example, to pull out of Syria, I got a problem with that. I'm concerned about some of these tariffs. There are other things he said and done that bother me. But I think I said this to you before, Amy. I was watching a Golf Channel show some years ago, and two professional golfers were asked, how can you tell if a golfer is good? Mm-hmm. And the first guy went through a long, beautiful, elaborate description of what makes a good golfer technically, how he puts his feet, where he places his arms, how he puts his hips, this, that, and the other. The other one folded his arms and said, I look to see where the ball lands. Let's look and see where the ball lands. Where it's landing is great. I like what he's doing on the borders. I like what he's doing with the course. I like what he's doing with regulations, with taxes. Let's let that go. The rest of the stuff is just white noise as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You can't even remember the last tweet he did 2 or 3 weeks ago that everybody was all upset about.
All right, Larry.
I look to see where the ball lands.
All right, then a follow-up question. Were you like me, and did you waste 1999 to watch Phil and Tiger play that thing after Tiger owed me money for just wrecking my Ryder Cup and being in the rough the entire time? I mean, agree with me, or do you feel afraid that you can't say anything anti-Tiger? Go ahead, Larry.
No, I'm a big Tiger guy, and the fact that he was kind of out of it for 5 years and came back and won a major tournament, he didn't win a major, but he won an important tournament, is a big golf story and got huge ratings. It also, by the way, I know you were joking, but by the way, it also shows you, in my opinion, the lack of racism in America. Here's a guy who is a person of color, and he cheated on his wife with all these women. Not a single one of them, to my knowledge, was a black woman,
no.
And no nobody gives a rip. On the Sunday, if he's competing, and Bruce, you know this,
yes,
the ratings go through the roof. Yet this is a country that's supposed to be institutionally racist. What did Obama say? Racism is in America's DNA. If racism were in America's DNA, the man could never have been elected, because in the 50s, when you asked white people if they would elect a black person for president, the answer, yes, was in single digits. So if racism were in America's DNA, he never could have become president. And somebody like Tiger Woods could not become the number one athlete in the world as he was for so many years. So I know you were joking, but I wanted to get
and
that
Larry,
in.
And here's the thing. I thought, okay, Obama gets elected. Okay, that's the end. You know, everything's fine in America,
yep,
and everything. Actually, then people doubled down. I mean, you know, you got Ta-Nehisi Coates and all that. Oh, no, we're still living in 1957, in case you didn't know. So it's even gotten worse as a result.
The person who doubled down was Obama. Obama hires Eric Holder. Eric Holder says, when it comes to matters of race, America has been a nation of cowards. And then the Cambridge police acted stupidly. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. He invokes, Obama does, Ferguson when he's speaking to the United Nations. He embraces the Black Lives Matter movement. Yes, he made things worse. I think more people voted for him because he was black than voted against him because he was black. Rather than celebrate that as a victory, he says racism is in America's DNA. I was very, very offended by that. He had a great opportunity to bring this country together and blew it.
You know, Larry, but I got to tell you something. Whatever that day was in November in 2016, I mean, it'll day that will go down in infamy for the Democrats and the liberals. I was so ecstatic, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. You know, in Chicago, we had won the World Series for the Cubs only the week before, and then to follow that up with Trump flipping, 9 million Obama voters. Million Obama voters.
Now, how did he do that?
Oh, that was so beautiful.
There were 700 counties in America that voted for Obama in 08 and in 12. 200 of them switched to Trump. When were those people in those counties bitten by the racist radioactive spider?
Good point. All right, so yesterday
on the shutout, the shutdown. We've had 18 shutdowns before. Somehow, some way, we've survived. And when they say that Trump won't compromise, if the wall costs $25 billion, he's asking for $5 billion, that's already a compromise. And when, for a moment, he took the wall off the table and got hammered by his base, Vanity Fair wrote, not that he was reaching across the aisle, not that he'd made a statesman-like gesture and decided to turn his back on a campaign promise. They called it a capitulation, which reminds me of when George Herbert Walker Bush broke his pledge of no new taxes.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? It was used against him. James Carville, Bill Clinton's campaign manager, called it the most famous broken promise in the history of American politics, and I'm going to hit him.
Wait a minute. Larry, that's cultural appropriation. You are not allowed to do a James Carville imitation, and you stay off my turf right now. And, you know, I'll be the one to talk about dragging a dollar bill through a trailer park, not you.
Get if you drag $100 through a trailer park. No, tell him what you gonna get.
What am I? Now, who am I allowed to imitate, Larry? Stay on your side.
So, Larry,
how the media is referring to it as his wall or Trump's wall, not the wall, not the southern wall. And when the Republicans were calling Obama's health care plan Obamacare initially, that was called racist. So is it racist to call it Trump's wall or his wall?
And I'm
even hearing the wall itself being called hearing the wall itself being called racist. So imagine what would happen if we put the military on the border the way Guatemala has. What would they call that? I mean, you can't win. And when did border protection become a partisan issue? I thought everybody wanted illegal aliens out of this country, especially those who are bad hombres, as Donald Trump mentioned it. Why should this be a partisan issue? I don't get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of political posturing going on. So we're in day 13 of this government shutdown, but everyone's standing their ground. I don't think that this is going to end anytime soon, do you?
No, you know what? It's going to be Pelosi.
I don't see how it can. You also have this wild card of Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi will not get elected if she is perceived as caving into Trump.
But once she gets elected, can't she turn on her people once she gets elected? That's what you do, right? Mitt Romney turns on Trump just now after he gets Trump support. Nancy Pelosi gets the support of the leftists. Then she makes a deal and she says it's not really a deal. Isn't that what's going to happen? No?
I hope so. I expect there's going to be some sort of deal, but she's in a tough position. If she wants to get elected as speaker, she can't be perceived as caving in, and so she's dug in. And when you call the wall racist, how do you compromise on a racist wall? What do you do? Half a racist wall? Quasi-racist wall? Where do you go from there?
That's crazy. All right, so speaking of Mitt Romney, what did you make of his interview with Jake Tapper and his op-ed in the Washington Post.
Who? You know, what difference does it make? This guy
was
groveling to become Secretary of State. He got Trump's endorsement. He ran for Senate. He was very happy about that. and thanked him profusely for supporting him. And then he does this before he even sets his foot in office. By the way, I didn't even realize that the chairwoman of the RNC was his niece.
She took out Romney. She had a hyphenated name.
Yeah, I had no idea.
She dropped that.
So the Romneys are playing good cop, bad cop, and it's great.
And according to Rolling Stone, Amy, Trump insisted that she not use the name Romney when he asked her to be the chair of the RNC, which is kind of weird.
That is crazy.
So,
I can't get over this James Carville limitation that you did.
Give us more. We want more. Another pressing issue of the day is Captain Intanil.
Yes.
What was your favorite
Captain Intanil song?
The muskrat song, whatever that one's called. What's it called?
It's called Muskrat Love.
Yeah.
I brought in a captain's hat for Bruce to wear today.
I don't think there's been an animal song like that, that beloved, since Michael Jackson did the song about Ben, which was a song about a rat.
Right. I remember that. His pet rat, Ben.
Larry knows his rodents very well.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Well, Larry Elder, always a pleasure having you on the program, and you can listen to Larry Elder on these very airwaves, 560 The Answer, weekdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Elder.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right. Yesterday it happened. Anybody who's 76 years old, you better watch yourself. Who's 76? Barbara Streisand.
Right.
Joy Behar.
Wayne Newton. Paul McCartney. Will you still need me? Will you still be feeding me with a feeding tube when I'm 76? They got to work on that one. Joe Biden is 76. Harrison Ford. Judge Judy. Three people who are 76 years old bid it yesterday. Bob Einstein, Funkhauser on the Larry David Show, Super Dave Osborne.
I don't remember him so well.
Yeah, what? Okay.
You
don't travel in his circles like
but I do. I know Mean Gene.
Mean Gene Okerlund died, and of course, as my son when he was 10 years old, and I was on Channel 32, and wrestling was on Channel 32, and Mean Gene did a promo with me, and he said, my best friend, I can't remember. Mean Gene, my best friend, Bruce Wolf.
Well, I think we tried to find that archival audio.
My shirt, Gene? You want to touch it? That's enough.
Hey, real good impression there, you What about the rest of you piss ants? Anybody else want to do impressions?
Hey, old man, why don't you shut up?
What do you call him?
Hey, blow it out your hair. I got guys that can take out your kneecaps.
That was on Fox 32?
Well, that was on everything. My son, I'm always a hero to my son because I talked to Mean Gene. I had a fake relationship with the fake wrestling announcer. And that's what, you know, father-son relationships should be based on, phony things like that. And who else died, of course?
Well, the real loss is Captain. And I hope the muskrats are with him in heaven. Jingle. Here they come.
Floating like the heavens above. Looks like muskrat love.
Here they come.
Come, little muskrat.
Sounds like he's gargling. Maybe the captain is gargling at that point.
Because
he didn't do much else. He was kind of like the teller of Penn and Teller. You never heard him.
No, and they even had a variety show, and he's playing, you know, three keyboards at the same time, one with his foot, one with his right hand, one with his left hand. He was a classically trained musician.
Yeah. On Love Will Keep Us Together, the only part that he does is, this is the only part. He goes,
electric piano.
Go ahead.
Love.
Love.
Love will keep us together. Think of me, babe, whenever. Oh, we'll take this through Gallagher. I'm a street talking girl, come along.
Here comes the
singing
captain's
a song.
Part. Here comes.
I hope around you just gotta be strong and stop. Cause I really love you. Stop. I've been thinking of you. Look in my heart and love.
Keep us together. This is from the summer of 75.
Whatever. Yeah, no, tell us about that.
And this song, there were only three radio stations in 1975. This station, WIND, WCFL,
WIND,
and they just played this song over and over and over again, and I got married that summer. So this is the song for me and my wife, whether we like it or not.
This is my song.
Do that to me one more time. Once is never enough.
See, I mean, I loved her so much that in second grade, I got the Tony Tennille hair bob,
sure,
also known as the Dorothy Hamill, as Mike Scott pointed out. But all of you, rest in peace, and good luck if you're 76 years old.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.